Okay. We were discussing the bracha and the dalad minim. We just didn't get to discussing something which is not directly on the page, but I think which is very, very fascinating. We won't go into all the details. But the question, the big machlokes rishonim, what if you pick up the arba minim not at the same time? Now, this is controversial. Obviously, according to Yehuda, Lul, Tzarek, Eged, you have to pick up at the same time, they have to be tied together. But we don't pass in that way. We pass in Lul, Tzarek, Eged. If you recall, and here I'll chazar a little, those who didn't get a chance to chazar, now we'll do a little chazar. There was a machlok between Rabbeinu Tam and everyone else. Rabbeinu Tam said, even if you don't have, even if it's not Tzarek, Eged, you need to pick them all up at the same time. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, that is not a, there's no enough, you can't pick them up, zach or zach. But according to the Bahag, remember the Bahag says you can pick up Zach or Zed. Everyone else agreed with the Bahag. So if you assume, like the Bahag and the Rishonim against the Rishonim, Tom, right? Im tinsalomar kedas Bahag v'rov Rishonim neged Rabbeinu Tam diyatsa im naklam bazeh achar zeh, right? Then you pick him up four times. How many brachas do you make? How do you say the bracha if you pick them up? Vazeh achar zeh. Our Gemara says you only say Nitilas Lulav. That's lechora, a regular guy who picks them up together. Lekuli Alma, a regular guy usually picked them up together. Why not? Right? So what about this case? So here we have a fundamental machlokas rishonim. We actually discussed this previously. I quoted you with Shut Rashba in Shir 48, I believe. I checked my notes. It was Shir 48. I don't remember what shir it was, but I checked my notes, shir 48. The Shut Rashba says, the Shut Rashba said that you make one bracha. You pick them up separately, you still make one bracha, l'tilas lulav. And that seems to be the assumption of a number of Rishonim here, such as, for example, the Rush says, at the end of Simon Yudalad here, he says, he says that Notlan Zachar is the very last line. You should pick up the lulav first. Why? Because you mentioned in the bracha, meaning he takes it as davar pashut. You only make alantilas lulav. You know, you only say Alantilas Lulav. Some stomach pick up the Lulav first because you say Alantilas Lulav. But he takes a double posture. It goes without saying that you only say Alantilas Lulav. Okay, I put a Ran in the Makoros. The Ran assumes the same thing. And there are many Rishonim who assume. So here we have the Rush and the Ran and the Shut Rashba. I think I made a page and handed it out during the Shir because it wasn't on the Makoros sheet. I handed out a separate page. We say one bracha. However, the Mi'iri here says you make four different brachos. Right? Each one, Alantilas Lulav, Alantilas Arava, Alantilas Hadasa, Alantilas Esrog. And he says, like I mentioned earlier, on Daf, Lamed Aleph, Amen Aleph, and if you look, what he said in Daf, Lamed Aleph, Amen Aleph, Hitaka just says it earlier. He goes with some examples, case that happened, but he quotes it from the Ravid. Okay, the Makor of this sheet of the Mi'iri is the Ravid. That the Ravid says that you should make four separate brachos if you pick them up in four separate actions. And the Orchas Chaim, another Provençal Rishon, also quotes the same thing in the name of the Rai. Because of our Rai, it's all Shemnotan Echad Echad, Shemverachal Kol Echad Echad Atzvo.
So here we have the Rai and the Meiri and the Orchos Chaim, who say that you make four separate brachos.
The Bahag probably would agree with them, right?
I don't know.
The Bahag by three Akaomer.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. That depends if you hold the Rav's version of the Bahag or the Velt's version of the Bahag. Now, the question is, what's the yisod of this machlokas? Okay, there are many details. I won't get into that. What's the yisod of this machlokas? I think you can explain the yisod of this machlokas in one of three ways. One is the Sefer HaMichtam, that this is a very, the Sefer HaMichtam makes a Chakira that I put on the next sheet, that I found a little later. The Sefer HaMichtam here says, why do we make a bracha only on the lulav? And he says, my time of the lulav, hold me, go over, kulam, pierce, ikr, ushar, mean, it's failing low. Because lulav is ikr and the rest is tafel, meaning when you make a bracha on the lulav and the rest is tafel. I thought that was the standard understanding. Standard understanding is you only make the bracha on lulav, it's gavo b'mino. We had a whole bunch of pshat on what gavo b'mino means. But either way, obviously gavo b'mino means more important, right? Whatever it means, whether it's Kabbalistic, whether it's botanical, it means more important. So you make a bracha on the ikkar, you make a bracha on the Cheerios, and you potter the milk. He says, but the yesh mefarshim, and here he's medayik this in Rashi. Rashi says, the lulav is chashav, v'nikra ha'eged al shemo, and it's all called by the name of the lulav. The eged, the whole thing is called lulav, which is true. When we say I'm going to, you know, pick up my lulav, I mean at least the whole eged, the hadas and arabas as well, and maybe even the esrog. So the he says, v'yesh rosh hol minu go'ab b'kulam u'chashav minu b'kulam v'nikra is called a good al shemo v'ari ki'il mavarcha u'kal echav echav d'shemo came pirush Rashi zal. He wants to say, Zachakira, why do you make a bracha on lulav and not the rest? Is it because lulav is the ikar and your pot are the tafel? Or is it because they're all called lulav? Why are they all called lulav? And that's what he's in Rashi. Nikar is called good old shmos, lashem b'nei adam. L'maisa, we call them all lulav, and therefore it's as if we said, al netilas, lulav hadasim, aravos, v'esrog. Because we call them all lulav in lashem b'nei adam. We have this sometimes where we use a word and, you know, we mean more than the technical meaning of the word.
Maybe they spoke differently. The way we speak, lulav means the three. It doesn't mean four.
Now, the truth is, if you're Madaic, that's actually what Rashi said. Nikres kol ha'eged al shemo might only mean the three, not the four. And the truth is, he also says kol ha'aguda al shemo. It's interesting. We say lulav and esrog, right? Although when we say bench lulav, okay, maybe that's specifically the bracha.
Europeans say bench esrog.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, it's a good question. Let's look at this. What you're suggesting? Yes, Mort.
Maybe if you go back. Remember the Gemara said, why do we hold the lulav and the hadas maravos in the right hand? Because it's three mitzvahs versus one. But later they say no, it's one mitzvah. It's just three quarters of it. Maybe that hava mina of the Gemara, if you hold like that hava mina, that's why you have it as separate things, and that's why you could make separate brachos on it.
Fair enough. I agree. Let's just point out, I think what we're trying to point out in this mechtam is that efshar to say it's ve'dinim in the chakira, right? Efshar to say the chakiras ha-mechtam, sefer ha-mechtam, although I'm not going to go too far with this. But the question is, why only say lulav? So one side is bracha only means lulav, but the ikar is poter es hatafel. Right, the bracha only means lulav, but the ikar poters the tafel.
We're going on all this is on one side of the chakira, that the purpose of making the bracha is like sheva or a matir. But if you say that the purpose of making the bracha is because the mitzvah srichus kavana, so then there's no side, then you need to make a bracha on any part that's not associated with the other part.
Okay, hold that thought for a moment, if you'll allow me. Number two is what he reads into Rashi, right, is that lulav really means all, let's assume he means all four. And what we're suggesting is that you could say tzvei dinim, right? You could very well say, this is the michtam, you could say beis dinim, which is lulav means all three, and esrog is tafel. Why is esrog tafel if all the three mitzvahs are one mitzvah? That's what Aaron's suggesting. The michtam, I don't think he's going that way. But lemaisa, let's just go back to here. Let's ask ourselves, what is the yesod hamachlokes? And I have three possibilities. One possibility, which is the most technical, is technical, which is the Sefer HaMechtam. Do you say lulav means all four, or do you say there's Iker and Tafel? Then it makes a lot of sense. If you say that the word lulav means all four, then it makes sense. Of course you only say one bracha. When you said al tilas lulav, you meant all four. But if you say that it is midin Iker v'tafel, then it makes sense that Iker v'tafel and Iker v'tafel only applies, you know, when they are together. So if lulav means all four, lulav means all four, of course you make one bracha. If it's no, you make a bracha on the lulav and you pop to the rest. When they're all together, make a bracha on the lulav and pop to the rest. When you're taking them at different times, then you can't pop to the rest if they're not around at the time. And that's one possibility. A second possibility is, this is a bit along the lines of what, and I think this is a very fruitful possibility, a bit along exactly what Joel said, is that maybe it has to do with the Hakira and Hilchos Brachos. Joel was already taking one step deeper. Maybe it is Lamdus of Hilchos Brachos. The Rav was very fond of this Chakira. Do you make a bracha on the Maisa Mitzvah or on the Kiyum Mitzvah? Do you make a bracha on the Maisa Mitzvah or the Kiyum Mitzvah? You understand where I'm going. So here is the...
That's even deeper than where I'm...
The Rav's Chakira, Birkas HaMitzvah, on the Maisa Mitzvah, or on the Kiyum Mitzvah. I put in brackets the Me'iri. The Me'iri just had a nice angle. All the Rishonim argue about this in Psachim. But the Me'iri has a funny line. Rav Chisda says, remember they had a case there, if you remember from our Rav Psachim, of... a person who only had maror, didn't have any other vegetables. Right? So, what does he do for karpas? The answer is he eats maror. So at first they say, fine. So, kadesh urchatz, say hadama, and eat the bitter herb for karpas. Okay? Yachatz magid rachza motzi matzah. And then say alechilas maror, and eat the same bitter herbs for maror. Rav Chisda says... What do you mean? You make the bracha after you ate them already an hour ago? You have to make the bracha at the beginning. So kadosh urchatz karpas, you say alech hadam and alech hilas mora, and make the bracha at karpas. So what does Rav Chisda mean by that? Says the Me'iri. Rav Chisda means mitzvah say tzrichos kavana. When you eat it the first time, you're yotzei. Of course, you have to make a bracha the first time because that's when you're yotzei. That's not what Tosa says. The Me'iri points out that's not what the Rif says. But if you look on the daf, that's clearly not what Tosa says. Tosa says, no. Mitzvah Shrichas Kavana, you're really Yotze later on in the Seder. But you have to make the bracha now, even though you're Yotze later. Let me just take this out of the Gemara and summarize it as a concrete halachic machlokes. This is the famous machlokes. Le man da Omar, mitzvos... Ein srichos, no, what I meant to say is, lim an da omar mitzvos srichos kavana, and you are only yotze at maror stage. When do you say al achilas maror? If you assume mitzvah shuchas kavana, you're not yotze till maror. When do you say alechilas maror? Says the Me'iri at maror. Says Tosfos, and the Me'iri's medayik the Rif at karpas. Right, the Me'iri's like, but the Rif holds mitzvah shuchas kavana, and yet he makes the bracha at karpas, even though he's not yotze yet. Here's a fascinating question: you eat maror at karpas and you're not yotze? Then you eat it at maror and you are yotze. When do you say the bracha? Mir says, make the bracha at maror when you're yotze. Rav Chisda said, make the bracha earlier because he held ein srichos kavana. But the Rif, he's medayik, says, no, make the bracha earlier even though you're not yotze. And Tosos is very explicit, make the bracha earlier even though you're not yotze. What's the yisod of this machlokes? So the Rav explained, they're arguing about Birkas HaMitzvah. The Meiri says you make a bracha on the Kiyum Mitzvah. The Kiyum's not till later when you're Yotzei. Tosfos, the Rav holds you make a bracha on the Maisa Mitzvah. The Maisa Mitzvah was earlier. You didn't have Kavanah yet, but you did the Maisa Mitzvah. This also affects the famous question of the Rav explains something else to this. This is the Rav's Chiddush. The Rav's Chiddush, we all know a famous machlokas about shofar. What's the famous machlokas about the mitzvah of shofar? No. I mean, okay, that's an unfair question. What's a famous? A lot of famous machlokas about everything. In Judaism, we have a lot of machlokas. But what I meant was, tki or shmiya, right? The Rambam says you say l'shmoa kol shofar, and Rabbeinu Tam says you say al tkiya shofar. So in the Velt they understand they're arguing what's the nature of the mitzvah of tkiya shofar, tkiya or shmiya. Says the Rav. Okay, no, but he would have if he didn't know the davening, right? He admits he would have if he didn't know the davening. So the Rav says no. The Maisa Mitzvah is the Tkiya. The Kiyum is in the Shmiya. They're arguing about this machlok is in the Meiri. He didn't quote the Meiri. He didn't like Meiris. But they're arguing this machlok is in Psachim. That whether you make the bracha on the Maisa or the Kiyum. So here, let's just ask a simple question. Lefi, according to the Rav, Shesavar Shemaisa HaMitzvah, he Kiyas Shofar, V'Kiyum HaMitzvah, is B'Shmiya, Eich Mevarchim. Now, I understand, this is only according to the Rav. You could have said, no, there's only Tkiya Shmiya is irrelevant. You could have said that only Shmiya Tkiya is irrelevant. We're not learning Rosh Hashanah now, but the reason why the Rav said this funny sounding thing, the Maisa is Tkiya, but the Kiyum's only in the Shmiya, is because there's strong proofs in the Gemara that you need both Tkiya and Shmiya in order to be Yotzei. So the standard every Lamda Shir before Rosh Hashanah is, there's a Machlokas and this is Tkiya or Shmiya. They're both in trouble because the Gemara proves both. So then you have to somehow get an answer. It's really only Shmiya. The Gemara that says you need Tkiya doesn't mean it. It's really only Tkiya. The Gemara says you need Shmiya doesn't mean it. Which are both very hard because those Gemaras really seem to mean it. But says the Rav, no, you need both. What do you need both? There's a Maisa Tkiya. That's the Maisa you're doing. Right? Otherwise, Shmiya is not a Maisa. But that you're only Mekani in the Mitzvah when you hear it. Uh-huh. So he says, therefore, one second, what's the Machlokas? The Machlokas is, here is Rabbeinu Tam says, Al Tkiya Shofar, because he holds you make the Bracha the Maisa Mitzvah. And here is the Rambam who says, Lishmoa Kol Shofar, because the Rambam holds you make the Bracha on the Kiyum Mitzvah. That's how the Rav explained this Machlokas. As Joel pointed out, this might affect a few other issues, such as, for example, how many mitzvahs are there in Sefiras HaOmer? One or 49? Right, I'm not talking about one or two shmuas, that's a different lumdus. One mitzvah or 49 mitzvahs. Most people understand that that's the yesod of the suffix. Whether if you missed day 22, can you count 23 or not? If it's one mitzvah, you lost it. If it's 49 mitzvahs, then you can continue counting. Okay, the Rav understood differently, but we're not getting to that now. Here's a fascinating question, right? Can you prove that Sefiras HaOmer is 49 mitzvos? Is 49, let's say this, is 49 separate kiyumim? Right? Can you say, no, each night is its own mitzvah? So the answer is, if you're making bracha on the kiyum, then yes. You've now proven, since you make 49 brachas, you've proven that it's 49 separate mitzvahs, and therefore, if you miss a day, you can still continue. Right? That would be a good proof. Since we make a bracha every day, that shows every day is its own mitzvah. So every day is its own mitzvah. If you forgot yesterday, who cares? But, points out the Rav, there's another option. What? No, the Bahag says you can't continue. Right. So to defend the Bahag, you would say, although the Rav in a different way, but that's not even now. Defend the Bahag, you would say, no, it's really only one mitzvah. Oh, why do you make 49 brachos? You make 49 brachos, you do 49 masim. But it's only one mitzvah, right? It's all or nothing. It's only one kiyum. You just do 49 different masim. That's why you make 49 brachos. And another issue is, you know the famous Achlokes in the Rashbam and the other Rishonim, When are you yotzei the mitzvah of matzah? What does the Rashbam hold?
Yeah. Hmm? I remember who held one held by Achilas Matzah, one held by the Afikomen.
Right, Rashbam is famous for saying the real mitzvah is by the Afikomen. The real mitzvah really says, now it's a little funny, what do you mean the real mitzvah of the Afikomen? That means that you only have kavanah to be yotzei with Afikomen. It's a little funny, like, could we possibly take into account the Rashbam nowadays if we don't have that kavanah? But at the very least, in time of the Gemara, the only kavanah to be yotzei with Afikomen. Says the, everyone asks on the Rashbam, what do you mean you only have kavanah to be yotzei with Afikomen? You say, alakilas matzah, at the beginning of the meal. So says the Rashbam, he refers to the sheet of Tosos in that Gemara about Mord. He says, no, you only make kind of mitzvah Afikomen. You make the bracha earlier because that's when you do the ma'isa mitzvah. He doesn't use the word ma'isa mitzvah. But, right, Shitas Rashbam.
If eating the first matzah is a ma'isa mitzvah, so you, by definition, you
would. No, because he says that you need kavanah and you only have kavanah to be yotzei at the end. Which is why it's hard to say the Rashbam applies nowadays, because even if he's right, we don't have that kavanah. Can Shitas Rashbam that you are yotzei only with the matzah of Afikomen, right? He says you're yotzei matzah Afikomen. So if you hold that the bracha is on the kiyum mitzvah, it's not possible. Everyone knows you make the bracha on motzi matzah before shochet orech. Therefore, obviously you yotzei at the beginning. Dover pashut. Why would the Rashbam think you're yotzei with the Afikomen? No, you're obviously yotzei at the beginning. That's when you say the bracha. But if you say the bracha is on the ma'isa mitzvah, not the kiyum mitzvah, that's exactly what the Rashbam says. He says, no, you only make the mitzvah by Afikomen. Oh, why do you make the bracha earlier? You make the bracha earlier because you have to say hamotzi at the beginning of the meal, so you have to eat bread. Once you eat bread, you do the ma'isa mitzvah, so you say the bracha on the ma'isa mitzvah, not the kiyum mitzvah.
By his definition, that's not the ma'isa mitzvah. It's not eating that matzah. It's technically matzah, but it's not matzah mitzvah that you're... It's not matzah mitzvah.
No, because it is matzah that was that. If you assume that's a fascinating question. What if it wasn't baked lishma? Would you still say it? He says no. You're doing the ma'isa of eating matzah. You just don't have kavanah to be yotzi yet, but you're doing the ma'isa. What? You don't like this Rashbam, do you?
Let's say uchala in the middle, and he never got to, so he was on. But was he yotzi?
It's a fascinating question. And you're trying to like tone down the Rashbam a little and saying, of course he thinks you yotzei at the beginning. He just thinks like it's a better kiyum at the end. But I don't think it's what you have to look at the Rashbam and Kuf Chaf and Tosos of Psachim. I think what he means, no, you don't have in mind to be yotzei at the beginning. You only have in mind to be yotzei at the end.
Why are you eating it?
You're eating it because at the beginning of the meal you have to eat bread in order to say amotzi. Only to say amotzi.
It's like a joke you have the matzos.
Right. It could be according to Rashbam, or at least you should be able to. Okay. Anyway.
The Rebbe's actually cheating. I mean, when he said this, the Rebbe's actually cheating because I heard this here many years ago, and he quoted the Malam Maor about Kavanas Mashmiya Vishomeya, that you have to hear the Shliach Tzibur. And if you don't hear the Shliach Tzibur wasn't discussing the Hotzi, you're not Yotzei. So he wrote a raya from there that you need the Mashmiya and the Shomea. You need both Kiyum. Yeah. Even though the Malam Maor was only trying to defend the Shita that Mitzvah Srichos Kavana, that even if Mitzvah don't Srichos Kavana, you need it over here.
But I don't want to complicate that much. What I just want to point out is this. If you really hold from this Chakira, then F should say, if you hold from this Chakira, F should say, that's the base of this Machlokas, the Helkos Brachos Machlokas. If you hold, it's one Kiyum, but it's four Masim. Right? So if you hold that the Bracha is on the Kiyum, then there's only one Kiyum Mitzvah. If there's one kiyum mitzvah, you only say one bracha. But if you hold the bracha is on the maaseh, then you would say, you're doing four maaseh. First you're picking up lulav, 5 minutes later you're picking up esrog, 5 minutes later you're picking up hadasim, 5 minutes later you're picking up aravos. Then you should have to have four different brachos. So it could be that they're arguing, hilchas brachos hakira. Do you make the bracha on the maaseh, or do you make the bracha on the kiyum? That's the second possibility. The third possibility, and here I'm just going to counter something that was on the board in Shir 48. Like I said, I double checked. Lumdus of
the arba minim.
Maybe they're arguing about a chakira about the arba minim. How so? The Rogachover, actually, I never know what to make of the Rogachover sometimes. He says, he is a chakira. Is it clearly the kichatama, right? All four minim rock of each other. Right? Arba minim shalul ma'akav etzef. You just pick up the lulav, it's not a mitzvah. So, his question was as follows. Was, what about... is it that really it's just all one mitzvah? Or is it that, no, it's really four mitzvahs, they're just ma'akev each other? Now that's a very subtle chakira, I admit, especially since there are many who show right that no, if they're all ma'akev each other, the Rambam even says at some point, that proves it's all one mitzvah. But I think the question is this, when we talk about arba minim, are arba minim four separate? Let me just point out one thing. There's a funny line in the Gemara here. What does the Gemara say? V'am a rav alu b'minu esu b'sol my tamahani plusa mitzvos v'hai chada mitzvah. These are three mitzvahs, this is one mitzvah. So everyone asks, what do you mean? That's not true. These are three quarters of a mitzvah, and that's one quarter of a mitzvah. It's all one mitzvah, sacha kol. Maybe the answer is no. Maybe to a certain extent, they're four different mitzvahs. They're ma'akiv each other. You need to be ma'akiv all the mitzvahs, but each one has its own integrity, in the literal sense, as a mitzvah. And maybe they're arguing about the relationship between the four minim, the Rosh and the Ran, and the Rashba will say, certainly this works better for the Rosh at least, will say that it's all one, It's all one mitzvah. There's one mitzvah, even one ma'isa mitzvah of picking up arba minim. There's one. Now, sometimes there's a mitzvah that you do in stages. After all, let's think very simply. I have to eat a kazayas of matzah. Let's say, I'm not talking about the chumers l'chakila. I eat half a kazayas of matzah and then eat another half a kazayas of matzah. Some people say, that's fine. It's one eating matzah that I do in two stages. Okay, maybe I need a tzirif of kedei achilas pras. But I can, I don't have to do it all at once. It's one mitzvah, but I can do it one step at a time. I think there are a lot of other lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. I never checked. What if he lights one lamp, and then takes a break, and then lights another lamp? L'chor still yotzei. It's one mitzvah. But you can do it in stages, as long as you get it done in the end. So all one mitzvah, even go so far as to say one ma'isa mitzvah. One long ma'isa. Or you could say, no, the lashon of the Gemara Khan is shalosh mitzvos plus mitzvah achas equals, if you're not so good at math, arba mitzvos. And achanami der ma'akev. But there are four different masim, and fascinatingly, we don't know they're ma'akev on our own. We have the darshan l'kicha tama to say they're ma'akev, right? We wouldn't have known they're ma'akev not for l'kicha tama, right? Four mitzvos, which are ma'akev one another al pi drashas l'kicha tama. Now, maybe that's the esod of the machlokas. They're arguing whether it's really one mitzvah or really four different mitzvahs with their own integrity. Either way, they admit you have to do all four, although I'm about to question that. Mm-hmm.
What would happen if I would have kavanah when I'm... No, I do them separately, and I have kavanah when I was no everyone except for the Aroba.
That's a fascinating question. I don't know. It could be. Maybe that would be good enough. Maybe that would be enough gemina of this chakira. I'm not sure. Let me just point out, because I know this is Chazara. I in your notes from Shir 48, but there could be many nafgaminas to this chakira. Nafgaminas to mitzvah achas versus dalet mitzvos. One nafgamina is the bracha when you take them separately. Another nafgamina is, if you remember we saw, how close together do you have to take them? Right? How close do they have to be to each other? If you recall, the Rush said that they all have to be in front of you. You can pick them up separately, but they're all three in front of you. That makes a lot of sense. It's really, it's one maisa, which you're doing slowly, but they all have to be there in order to be mitzarif to one maisa. However, the Ritva quoted some of his Rebbeim, and the Yosef Elunil says, no, they just have to all be in front of you. Sorry, they just all have to be Bershu, so you have to own them all. Okay, that's sort of in the middle. It doesn't need to all be sitting there, but you need to have some connection to them. And then we saw the Ran and the Ritva in the name of his other Rebbe, Moro, and the Ran quoting the Ramban, although I couldn't find this inside the Ramban, says, yeah, even if I kaka pick up the lulav and I don't even own the Arava yet, and then I sell the lulav and buy an Arava, I'm very poor. So I buy an Esrog, I sell it, I buy a lulav, I sell it, I buy a Arava, so I sell it, I buy a Dasim. I never really connected all those four. It doesn't matter, as long as I pick up all four, it's okay. So that makes a lot of sense, right? Do you need kulam bifanav bevas achas or kulam birshuso bevas achas or just netilas kulam bemeshach hayom? Right? Again, if it's four separate things, you have to take them all in the end. But you don't have to take them in any way mitzurif to each other. If it's that, you don't need to own them all. Or maybe you need to own them all, but at least they don't need to be together. If you say, no, it's really one mitzvah, you're just doing it slowly, like lighting the seven lamps of the menorah, or like eating matzah slowly. If it's one mitzvah you're doing slowly, then maybe you need them all to be there in front of you, or at least to be in your possession. Another similar nafkamina is what we saw in the Bir Halacha. I'm not going to put the names here because on the board. Right? Is it a problem if you were mafsik? His example is Al Yidei Dibor, Al Yidei Sicha. Al Yidei Sicha instead of Dibor. Because, I mean, not if you said, where's my other Arava? That's obviously not a hafsik. But if you said, you know, did you hear about the Mets game last night? It went to extra innings, v'chuli v'chuli. So if you were mafsik in between them, said the Bir Halachi, thinks you're mafsik between them, it should be a problem, because then they're not together. That obviously makes sense. It's all one maisa. If you say it's four separate things, then who cares you're mafsik in between them? And the last two things I want to point out is it Baltigra to take only three? And parallel, which we spent a lot of time on, is it Baltosif to take five? Right? Remember, we spent a lot of time on Baltosif to take a fifth min? According to us, that say, or is it Baltigra to take three min? And the last thing I'll point out is a question that we dealt with a few times. Okay, I apologize for this weird shape. The fasting discussion of, and this is, you can never tell. You know what, if you have a Drabbanan, you want to know the contours of the Drabbanan. Are the contours of the Drabbanan only revelatory about how serious the Drabbanan were in this Takana? Or sometimes they're revelatory about the Doraisa, which they're basing themselves off. So yes, did the Rabbanan, were they mocked on something? Could be a question, how mocked were the Rabbanan here? Or it could be, you know, how central was that to the Doraisa? Things that are definitional to the Doraisa, even the Rabbanan would be mocked on. Things which are sort of side points, they wouldn't. If you remember, the very beginning of the parak, we spent a lot of time on Yantav Sheni, meaning Kolomoed. What were the Rabbanan mocked on? What were they not? Were they mocked on Hadar? Were they not mocked on Hadar? Et cetera, et cetera. Why were they not mocked on Lachem? Et cetera, et cetera. So the famous question of, were they makbid on, 1 second, let me just get the right page. Sorry, I apologize. I just want to find the right line. The Tosos in Menachos. Okay. I lost track of the Tosfos of Menachos. It doesn't matter. We'll just say over Machlokas. We quoted this from the Or Zevurah. We mentioned later that originally I hadn't noticed it, but then I found that this is explicit discussion in Tosfos in Menachos. On Yantav Sheni, do you need are all four Minim Ma'akev? Chulachachil, you need all four Minim. Question on Yantav Sheni, if you only have three Minim, is that worthless? Or you don't say three of the four mitzvos. And if it's all Shalosh mitzvos, saying. Yantav Rishon, you need Lekicha Tama. Basically, everyone knows Yantav Sheni, you don't need Lekicha Tama. Right? Or at least Tosa says. Remember, Tosa says, you don't need Lekicha Tama in Yantav Sheni. That's why you can have something that has a hole in it. That's Chasar in Yantav Sheni. Right? But what about needing all four Minim? Do you need all four Minim? So Tosos in Sukkah, Daf Chav Tesam, beginning of the parak, says, the Ikar Lakicha of Dalad Minim, they were talking other days. But it's not so Pashat. Tosos Menachos has a Deya, and the Tosos Menachos has a Deya, and the Or Zeruah brings down a Deya, that maybe you don't need all four Minim on Yantav Sheni. Yeah, here's the Tosfos of Menachos. Yeah, exactly. That's what I just opened to. He says here, I think, if I'm... one second, here we are. Yeah. Ula divreihem, le divrei ayesh v'forshim, v'yom sheni, tiske... no, one second. No, okay, it's not. Okay, it's not Mefurish there. But anyway, there's a day in the Or Zevurah, so it wasn't in that process. Anyway, here's a question of, do you need all four Minim on Yantav Sheni? Durabanan. Again, if you assume that it's one Maisa Mitzvah, then it's hard to imagine Darabanan. What, would they be talking a different mitzvah? It's one mitzvah. Of course they wouldn't say you could do less on Yantav. You ever hear that, you know, that on a mitzvah Darabanan you can do half a kezias? Marv is on his A, half a kezias, you only Darabanan. No, the mice, it's just the details they're making on, like Hadar maybe, or Lachem, or Chaser. But if you assume that, no, they're really separate mitzvos. They talk of Xeris Kazmi Akhmed, but they're really each mitzvah has its own integrity, then it makes sense that maybe Yantav Sheni, you don't have to take all four, or at the very least, maybe L'chachili should take all four. But if you have one, that's also a mitzvah. And if you have two or three, that's also a mitzvah. Okay, these are basically three ways of explaining this very, very fascinating machlokas about how many brachas to say if you pick them up separately. One very technical way, just like what does the word lulav mean? One very lundish way about there's a mitzvah. Do we look at the maisa or do we look at the kiyum? And one very lundish way about the arba minim, is it really one mitzvah, which we always naturally thought, and all the books of Sifrei and mitzvahs counted as one mitzvah, or the Lashon of Ar Gemara, plus a mitzvah, chad a mitzvah, plus a plus chad, there's four mitzvahs. All the Rishonim say, I love davka. But, you know, it definitely might mean something. Okay, we'll leave this for now. And, Chaim, do you have a smartphone?
What about the mikdash
of the Holy What? That's a fascinating question. I'm good. I just hope it's still recording.
You want me to record it?
Nope, here it is. Great. Okay, I'm good. Yeah, now, let us, ready to move on. Sorry, were you in the middle of saying something?
I was just there for what about the Mikdash? According to the Rishonim, the Rambam wouldn't agree, but according to the Svarah,
that is a great question. What about Mikdash? And what about Mikdash? Okay, it's a great question. I'll leave it as food for thought for now. Mishav, heichon hayu menanin. Where would they be menaneya? Behold, Hashem tchilo v'sofa ana Hashem oshiyana divrei beis Hillel ubeisham ayah omerim af ba'ana Hashem atzlichana. Okay, there are some interesting technical machlokos here. interesting technical machlokos. Number one, what is tchilo v'sof? So Tosfos, all the Rishonim bring down two deos, and all the Rishonim agree to one opinion. What do all the Rishonim say? Beginning and end of the Mizmor, right? We know the last perek, again, in the Sidurim, we often don't know what's a perek, what isn't. But the last perek, the last kapitel of Hallel, starts with the Hodol Hashem, Yitovi, Lom, Chasdo, Yomen, Yishol, etc. And ends with, right, Keile, Atovi, Odeke, Elokai, Rol, Mecca, Hodol Hashem, Yitovi, Lom, Chasdo, beginning and end of the perek. That is what Rashi here says, that is what Tosfos says, some of the Shonen quoted Yesh Mefarshim said beginning and end of the pasuk Hod Lashem Kitov and Kili Olam Chasno. Some of the Chronim suggest we're guilty of that nowadays because we start shaking at Hodu and continue through Kili Olam Chasno. But that's really Das Yachid. Okay, the my Bikias and Machzor Vishri is not so good, but one of the footnotes alerted me that who is this Yesh Omrim? The only sefer I could find it in. I found a couple of Rishonim who quoted a Yesh Omrim says, but it's not true. But the only sefer I found that actually holds this way, and even he has two opinions, but at least his first opinion, is the Machzor Vitri says, Tchila v'sof, b'sof ha-pasuk b'chasto. Then he says, v'yesh Omrim, and he quotes Rashi. Okay, so the Machzor Vitri seems to hold beginning and end of the pasuk. Okay, interesting machlokas. The Rav suggests that maybe the Machzor Vitri holds that Hod L'Hashem Ki Tov and Kili Olam Chasto are two completely separate praises of Hashem. And that's why you need two separate Nanuim. I would have thought it's one Shevach, Hod L'Hashem Ki Tov, Kili Olam Chasto. Right? But maybe Hod L'Hashem Ki Tov, Kili Olam Chasto are two separate Shvachim. It could be that you have even a bit of a philosophical machlokas here. Actually, just to be fair, I think I might have lied. I think there may be one other Rishon with a name who holds like the Machzor Vitri. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know how much you care, I must admit. But if I'm not mistaken, I think that the Shibalei Halekit quoted from Rav Mordechai Shliach Tzibur, who also held like the Machzor Vitri. I don't know who the Rav Mordechai Shliach Tzibur was. I guess someone in Italy, Lechora. The Shibalei Halekit was Italian. Anyway, so it could be there's even a bit of a philosophical machlokas here. Hod L'Hashem Ki Tov, Kili Olam Chasto. Is that one Shevach, or is that two Shvachim? Meaning, is one supposed to focus separately on the present goodness and the eternal goodness? Or no, the whole point is that the present is part of the eternal goodness, and is that one Chavaya Ruchanet or two Chavayot Ruchaniot? Perhaps that's in this Yeshu Farshim Tosos, but, we're not going to get into philosophy now.
Maybe that's an
easier shot. Is Tov and Chesed the same thing? I think you're right, maybe. Right? Hod L'Hashem Ki Tov, Kili Olam Chasto. What's the relationship between Tov and Chesed? Goodness and what's Chesed? Kindness? Is goodness and kindness the same thing? I retract in favor of what Joel said. Now, I don't know what the philosophical machlokes is. Goodness and kindness, the same thing.
What about the machlokes? We've shown him as to whether the world was created because of Hashem's Tov or Hashem's Chesed.
Really? Okay. Anyway, so we will leave that for now. The other big technical machlokes here, which is perhaps a little more lumdish even, is... which is perhaps even a little more lundish, is what constitutes the Hod L'Hashem Tchila? What is the Hod L'Hashem Tchila? By the way, once you're talking about the Chesed and Tov are the same thing, one could ask, what's the Macholos Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai? Right? Ana Hashem Ashiya Na, Ana Hashem Atzlicha Na. Right? Beis Shammai says, right? Af, Ba'ana Hashem Atzlicha Na. So it could be that that's a similar Macholos. Is Hoshia and Hatzlicha one general Bakasha? Or Hoshi and Hatzlicha, two completely separate bakashos. And Beis Shammai sees them as two separate bakashos, but he also sees them one bakasha. But again, it's very hard to prove philosophy. When it comes to Hod L'Hashem Ki Tov, Tosos already says it's very complicated what to do with Hod L'Hashem Ki Tov. Why? It's very simple. If you're a Yachid, I don't think there's anything complicated. Hod L'Hashem Tchila means the possible Hod L'Hashem Ki Tov Yilam Chasto, and then you move on with your life. Question is, what if we done Bitzibur? What's the problem? Nachlam Chesem Bezit says, that how do we say Bitzibur? The Chazan says, Hod L'Hashem Ki Tov Yilam Chasto, and the Kol says, Hod L'Hashem Ki Tov Yilam Chasto. The Chazan says, Yomer Na Yishol Ki Yilam Chasto, and the Kol says, Hod L'Hashem Ki Tov Yilam Chasto. The Chazan says, Yomer Na, the Kol says, Hodu, the Chazan says, Yomer Na, the Kol says, Hodu. So then, how many times does the Chazan shake, and how many times does the Kol shake? It's not so clear. And we have a three-way machlokas about both of those questions. Tosvos. Where do we start? Let's start with the Tzibur. I think Tosvos takes it as a double pashut that how about. Halel, Bitsibor,
What do you do with Hodu de Tchilas HaPerek? So, right, so how about the Kahal? I think Tostakes is Dover Pasha. How many times does the Kahal shake?
Why do I think Tostakes is Dover Pasha? Because it's a suffix about the Tzibur. What's the suffix? I'll read it to you inside. If that, I mean, two days. V'asher shenog v'shleif tzibur, etc. Oh, it says had tzibur not called hold of hodu shonen.
Very enforced. Tosfos says four times every hodu.
Okay, that is fairly straightforward. Four hodus, four times, right? Not so crazy. What's Tosfos safe two days? He says avol shleif tzibur login on there. The shleif tzibur doesn't, right? Simple shot is meaning he only does it once. The Yesh Marsha actually Shleif Tzibur Nanea Agav Tzibura Sh'on Kol Pam Pam Hodu Menanim Menanea Nami Shleif Tzibur V'Yomrna V'Yomrna.
So how about the Shliach Tzibur? The Shliach Tzibur says Tosfos Deya one says only one time because only one Hodu. That's very Pashut, right? These are very Pashut.
Shots once, the Tzibur four times, and we're in time to say Hodu.
Tosfos says, second day, says four times. Why four times? He's not saying Hodu four times.
The answer is, Agav Tzibur, meaning, since he is introducing or prodding the Tzibur to say Hodu, therefore, it counts like he is saying Hodu, Agav the Tzibur,
right? The Svara is, Agav
Tzibur, since he is calling upon them to say Hodu, it counts as if he's saying Hodu. Interestingly, the Hagos HaShiri says an interesting thing. What does the Hagos HaShiri say? He has the same sort of suffix. He's quoting the Orza Ruah, but he says it funny, and what's interesting is it's the most difficult Svara, but it's how we pass it. We being Ashkenazim, please. Or Ashkenazim. What is the... Hagos HaShiri say here, he says, V'shat v'naneya b'vayomerna v'lo b'yomerna. Iname agav tzibur sh'on v'al kol pam v'am v'naneya v'naneya kong v'shliach tzibur. His second day is the same as Tosfos. Agav tzibur. His first day is, shat v'naneya b'yomerna v'lo b'yomerna.
Right? So says the Or Zeruah in the Hagos HaShiri. In his first day, he says two times,
Hodu and Vayomer, but not Vayom, but not Yomer, no Yomer, no. Hodu, Yomer, not Yomer, no Yomer, no.
Agav Tzibur mean because he told them or because it's part of the
people? I think because he's telling them, I think.
I don't understand that, you know, he also wants to be Tefillah, the Tzibur, etc. He has to be shots, but he wants to be together with the Tzibur.
Okay, F-sure. Just tell me, what's the Svar that goes Ashri? Why would he only, I mean, if you said only Hodu, I understand. Only when he says Hodu. If you said, whenever the Tzibur says Hodu, whenever the Tzibur says Hodu. What's the Svar to say he says it at Yomer Na, not at Yomer Na? Ah, so I think that's the Pashup shot. I actually found this with the Achronim saying the Shulchan Aruch, the Taz. The Rav had a different Hezber. The Rav had a Hezber which I was not so attracted to. The Rav, the Rishimas here said, what's shot? He says, in Hodu, he shakes for himself. And in Yomar, he shakes to show the Tzibur they should shake. But once he showed them once, he doesn't have to show them again. I'm not so attracted to it, because A, who says he has to teach them how to shake? And B, he showed them when he said Hodu. Well, they say no, because when he said Hodu, he wasn't talking to them. So he has to shake once when he talks on his, or the Hodu is, right? But, you know, I thought the Pashup shot was, and this is what the Taz says in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a fundamental difference in Yomer Na and Yomer Na. In Yomer Na, he's talking to the Tzibur, Yomer Na Yisrael. So he's telling them, the Tzibur shake, and the Tzibur shakes. In Yomer Na Beis Aaron and Yomer Na Yirei Hashem, he's not talking to the Tzibur. And don't say, no, he's only talking to the Kohanim and only talking to the Yirei Hashem and the Tzibur, because, I mean, the Kohanim and Yirei Hashem don't do anything special, right? So in Yomer Na Yisrael, he's talking to the Tzibur, and he's telling the Tzibur to shake. And therefore, he's mitzuref to the hodu of the tzibur. In Yomer Nevesar and Yomer Nevesar Hashem, you could have said he's mitzuref to part of the tzibur. But you could say, no, Yomer is practical, Yomer is theoretically. No, the Beis Aaron should, you know, get together in their own mikdash and do their own avoda. And the Yirei Hashem should do their own special avoda. Right? But he's not talking to the tzibur. So I think it's a pashut shot. The svara is that, and by the way, this is how we paskin. I think in most Ashkenazic shuls nowadays, this is the Pesach Rama. You never know what they do in, places where they follow Minigagra or something. But most Ashkenazic shuls follow the Ramah, who follows the Orz Ruah, who says, give me a second, and then I'll make a suggestion. Yomarna is seraph to the tzibur, because you're calling on the tzibur, and yomuna is not. Right? Yomarna is not calling on the tzibur. That's calling on people who may or may not be here. There might be Kohanim in the Tzibur. There might not be Kohanim in the Tzibur. There might be Yirei Hashem in the Tzibur, we hope. There might not be Yirei Hashem in the Tzibur.
Why? According to that Malach, so then why does the Tzibur answer Hodu? And why is the Tzibur... maybe they should say Hodu, maybe. I don't know. But they shouldn't. Why not Nea? Why was what's it?
Okay, you're right. This actually becomes a little docha, because after all, the tzibur act the same either way. Now, give me a second. I'll come back to it. Morty?
Well, maybe the whole thing is that the hodu is hodu. Clearly, you do not mean by hodu. The yomars are sort of a separate section, and you do one for that section of yomar, because you don't want to leave it out.
Okay, yeah, sure. Just, like, there's a lot of sections. Let me just point out that there's a machlokas when it comes to the kohal also. Says the Ritva, the Kal only does once. Obviously, he thinks the Shliach Tzibur does once, right? The Kal only does once. Why did the Kal only do once? So the truth is, you can interpret this Ritva in one of two ways. You could say, because it's only Tchila, and only the first is Tchila. But that doesn't seem to be correct, because we all do it twice at the end.
Not all the Rishonim would read that you do it twice.
Correct, and we're not sure what the Ritva thinks, but if we assume he did it twice in the end, that's not going to be the Hesver. You could say shot is that no, it's only a bookends, beginning and end. Take beginning and end seriously. What's the svara? The svara, you could say the svara is tchila v'sof davka, or the Rav says I think a better svara. And this gets into what Aaron was asking before, although it's only first step. He says, why did the Kal answer Hodu? When the Chazan says Hodu, the Kal says Hodu because we want to praise Hashem. Why did the Kal say Hodu when the Chazan says Yomarna? So here it gets a little complicated. But the Gemara Daf Lamed Chesam and Beis, I'll just read you outside a line, says, Hu amar Hodu Lashem inu amar Hodu Lashem, ikan she mitzvah lanos roshei prakin. It's a mitzvah... to repeat the beginning of the perek after the chazan. Now it's funny, the Gemara never says that he says Yomer and we say Hodu. But says the Ritva, no, the reason we say Hodu is not once we say Hodu, because that's part of Hallel. The second time we say Hodu, that's just a way to answer the chazan. It's like an amen to answer the chazan. After all, during most of Hallel in the old days, they used to say Hallelujah to answer the chazan. Right, he would say Hallelujah of the Hashem. They would say Hallelujah. He would say etc. etc. Mikasha Volcano, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Mabil Shabbos, Hallelujah. Right, etc. Maybe the story of the Ritva is that no, the Hodu except for the first. Is like Amen, and it's as if the Kohol is saying Yomar and Yomru Vechuli. Maybe what he's saying is that no, you only shake in your first Hodu. The first Hodu you mean Hodu. The second Hodu, is it really just like a refrain, but what you're really doing is you're being Yotza Yomer Yisrael the Chaz. The Chaz is Yomer Yisrael. You don't say Amen. How are you Yotza with him? The answer is by saying Hodu Hashem Yitov. You're Yotza the Chaz. Now, truth is Shemeka Ona. You don't need to, but L'chachil, you're supposed to say Amen. How come you don't say Amen? Your Hodu Hashem Yitov is like the Amen. It's just your way of saying I'm being Yotza with his Yomer Yisrael. Why do I say Hodu Hashem Yitov? Because that's the beginning of the parak. So it could be that the Ritva is saying that, again, it could be the Ritva is saying you need dafka tchila. Or it could be the Ritva saying, no, every time you really say hodu, in order to say hodu, you shake. But the second hodu is really just a way of saying amen and saying yomar.
I have something else that he quotes from the Or Zeruah, that the first hodu was said quietly. And that's what want to see the quotation.
I have to get one of these. Okay, Rebbe's Fasemesh, Shehivit Dvar Or Zeruah. Is he quoting from the Or Zeruah saying this, or from the Sfas Emes saying this?
Quoting from the Or Zeruah, yes.
I'm not sure.
I can double check now.
Okay, anyway, we'll have to leave talking. Yes?
Talking about I think it's the Mishnah Berurah says that you're really supposed to answer Hodu. Sure, you might not be able to hear, but it's about God. So you should also say the Pshutu.
Correct, that's...
And then I see, I don't know if this is the right thing, but you see that people have already been located, l'chadchila, that's what they're supposed to say. But I don't know, is there any mocker? I mean...
Yeah, the mocker is Mishnah Berurah.
No, what's his name? What is the story?
His far is this was in the old days when people were used to being yotze things with the chazan, and therefore they knew how to be miskaven and how to listen, etc. Nowadays, we're not used to being yotze with the chazan. We're afraid people won't listen and they won't hear and they won't come on us. Therefore, we're oches bazev gamazel tanach yadcha. We say it ourselves to not do like in the time of the Gemara, but we also say like in the time of the Gemara. All right. The Ritva name of Tosa says strange day. He says. Again, similar, obviously, to how it was, the call only shakes twice. Once for Hodu Hashem Kitov, and once for Yomar Yisrael Kilom Chasto. This would be a little strange, but I think Yatze the same Svara. What's the Svara? The Svara is that the Hodu after Yomar is a response, because he says Yomar Yisrael, and we're Yisrael, right? Yomar Yisrael, and we say it, right? So, it is Midin Amiras Hodu. But when he says Yomar Na Beis Aaron Kilom Chasto, why am I saying anything? I'm not Beis Aaron. It says Yomar Na Yirei Hashem. Maybe I'm not a Yirei Hashem. It's hard to tell what the standards of Yirei Hashem and Sefer Tehillim are. Ashrei Kli Yirei, you know.
What was so hard about the Rav for that you found so hard? There are two dinim here. One is to say Hodu Lashem yourself, the Shem on there, and one is to respond to the Shliach Tzibur, and that's enough. Once is enough. He might be repeating in the Nanua. There are two dinim.
But once enough, then only do it once.
No, I'm saying pointing to the Shita that the Or Zeruah, going back to the Or Zeruah again. The Rav's explanation, there are two dinim. One is to respond to the Shliach Tzibur, one is to do it yourself. And you don't have to do it with your Runa. You've already responded. I'm going back to the Or Zeruah.
Yeah, okay.
You don't need to do it by the Yom Runa.
Okay, why not?
Because you've already responded once.
So then why do you say it, Hodu?
But no, but that's a different din.
Okay, so then you say a different din. Hodu after Yom Runa response, but Hodu after Yom Runa, which is not talking to the Kahal, right? That's like the Yesod, the Tazis, and Shavanar. It's not talking to the Kahal, is Midin Amin. Right? So maybe you could say the second Hodu is Midin Amir's Hodu. He says Yomar Yisrael, so we say Hodu. The third and fourth times, that's not Midin Amir's Hodu, because he says Yomar Na Beis Aaron, Yomar Na Yirei Hashem. Again, I might have said, we all join Beis Aaron and Yirei Hashem. But if you want to, you could say, that's just Midin Amin, and then that would explain here, you know, that would explain the Or Zeruah also. When he says Yomar Nag is Mitzur of Tos, he's telling us to do it and we do it. When he says Yomar Nag is not Mitzur of Tos, we just say it because of Amen. Okay, so there are three possibilities. Basically, obviously you can mix and match, right? For example, we pass in call four and Shliach Tzibur two. But they're all basically the same lumbas. Is that every Hodu is important? Is it that every Hodu is important? Or is it that every Hodu is important? Or is that, no, only the first one is really didn't hold to the rest of the Amen, or no, The first and second are really saying it because Yom Rav Yisrael. The third and fourth are like Amen. And for the Shlei Tzibur is that he only says Hodu once, or Agav Tzibur is saying Hodu four times because he's calling on them. Or no, Yom Rav he's calling on them. Yom Rav he's just saying and they're saying Amen. Okay, that's a big lumbus when it comes to the Hodus.
The others on the draft don't answer Hodu at all. They answer the same thing the Shlei Tzibur said four times.
Okay, so this is that true? Okay.
I never.
All right. But in any case, they don't shake. That's clear in the Shulchan Aruch.
Not all of them.
Yeah, that problem with Eidot Mizrach is, you know, it's like, P saying all Jews, you know. Like, whatever, we meet one Eidot Mizrach, and we don't realize there's a lot of diversity within Eidot Mizrach, and you know, when we call a Moroccan and an Iraqi Eidot Mizrach, they're both offended. So, okay, weiter. Now, let's continue the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Akiva. So far, Yisrael Rabbi Eliyahu Rabbi Yeshua Shkalah, you anonymous Lovev, Heim Lo Ninu'u, Elaba Anah Shem Oshiyanah. I looked at Rabbi Eliyahu Rabbi Yeshua, and everyone shook, and they only shook at Anah Shem Oshiyanah. Now, what does he mean by only shook at Anah Shem Oshiyanah? The Yerushalmi, actually, it's funny, if anyone looked in the brackets, there was a Yantar quotes the Yerushalmi in a way that I don't understand how he read that in the Yerushalmi, or what Gersi had, or whatever. But Pashas, the Yerushalmi actually asked this question. You mean they only shook it on Hashem Moshiach, what did they do in Hodu? So, what are they in Hodu? What would you think is Pashup Shat in the, what would you think is Pashup Shat in the Mishnah?
Of course they did.
They didn't do Beishamai. Everyone followed Beishamai, but he looked. Everyone followed Beishilo. Okay, I think that's the most. I think that's the most pashup shot. That's for some people it's so obvious they don't even bother to say it. That the Ra'as says that explicitly. The Meiri says it explicitly. And I think the Meiri says it explicitly. Everyone shook it at Tzlichana, and they only shook it on Hashem Oshiyana, and that's the halacha. They didn't shake it at Tzlichana. Okay, there's a bit of a tosofer. He says, everyone shook it at Tzlichana like Beis Hillel. Obviously, it meant everyone shook it at Tzlichana like Beis Shammai. Okay, so what about Rabbi Eliel and Rabbi Yoshua? Give me a second here. What about Rabbi Eliel? I think the Pashtus, or who's saying it's Pashtus, right? The Ra'ah and the Meiri says Hodu and Hoshiana. Right? And they're like Beis Hillel. However, there's a funny Bar Tanura. What does the Bar Tanura say? He says, V'hein lo ninu elo ba'ana shemashiyana bilvad. He has the word bilvad. Although even the word bilvad doesn't prove anything. Everyone goes to Gersa, who had bilvad? Bilvad la fuke what? Right. V'ein kein halacha elo to the Beis Hillel. The halacha is not like them. Rather, it's like Beis Hillel. Meaning, the halacha is not like them, who only do Hoshiyana. It's like Beis Hillel. Hoshiyana and Hodu. So apparently, they were a third shita, neither Beis Hillel nor Beis Shammai. Where did Ravadya Bar Tanura get his shita from? Where does anyone know where he usually gets his shita? Good methodological question. What's the main basis of the Bar Tanura? Okay, that's a trick question. Halfway Rashi and halfway Rambam Pirush Mishnayos. The Rambam Pirush Mishnayos says here V'ein halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. Not quite as long. I didn't put on the chorus, I apologize. I don't think I did. The Ein Halacha Krabi, I did? Oh, great. The Ein Halacha Krabi Akiva. What do you mean, Ein Halacha Krabi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva said only Hoshia. What do you mean, Ein Halacha we do Atzlicha? Obviously not. We can look at the Rambam in Mishnah Torah. Obviously, this is the source of our door. Ein Halacha Krabi Akiva, Elo Kibbe Zillow. He obviously holds Rabbi Akiva is not like Beis Hillel, because we all know Halacha like Beis Hillel. There's not really any doubt about that. So here we have the Rambam and the Bar Tanura. Says only Hoshiyana against Beis Hillel. Agav, even though Tosafot Yontif quotes Yerushalmi in a funny way, the Yerushalmi is mefurish against this Rambam. The Yerushalmi says, I don't have the Lashon of the Yerushalmi on me, I'll try to reconstruct it. The Yerushalmi says, and not, I don't remember the exact words, and not at Hodu? Says, no, lafuk etzlichana. Just means not etzlichana. Of course they did Hodu. Of course they made Shammai. So here, why don't we get a mefurish Rishami here? That's better than me saying what I think. The Rishami is very mefurish. That the Rishami bothers. What do you mean they didn't do Hodu? That's ridiculous. They're not going to be like Beis Hillel? No, of course they were like Beis Hillel. They just weren't like Beis Shammai. Okay, this is a fascinating question. Now here also, I don't want to get too philosophical, but it is a fascinating question. When we shake the lulav, at what part do we shake the lulav, right? The machlok is Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, Hoshiyana versus Atzlichana. That's a subtlety. Because Hoshiyana and Atzlicha are more or less the same thing. Anashim Hoshiyana and Atzlichana are more or less the same thing. So you're fasting machlokes, either a machlokes, I lied before, everything is can be analyzed two ways. Either machlokes whether Hoshiyana and Hatzlicha are the same type of tefillah or different tefillahs, or machlokes, that they're slightly different kinds of tefillos, but you have an anua for a general direction or for each specific direction. Fine. When it comes to the Machzor Beis Tri, Hodel Hashem Ki Tov Kulam Chasdo also. Could be arguing about, are Tov and Chesed the same? Or are they different? Or you could be saying, they're slightly different, but it's an anua for the general idea or for the specific idea. But either way, that's details. Here, Hodu and Hoshiyana are very, very different things, right? Hodu is, if you just give me a phrase from Hilchas Tefillah, what is Hodu? It's a Shevach. And what is Hoshiyana? It's a Bakasha. Shevach and Bakasha, right? We know in Hilchas Tefillah, are two separate things. Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Kulam Chasdo is a pretty pure Shevach. And Ana Hashem Hoshiyana is a fairly pure Bakasha. So, says Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, according to the Rambam, only Bakasha, not Shevach. Only Bakasha, not Shevach. Says the Beis Hillel, and even we only know Yeshua according to most Rishonim who say they agree with Beis Hillel, Shevach, and Bakasha. Okay, here's a fascinating question, like, why would this be? So, anyone know why, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, again, it's a sort of sveika. We don't possibly agree with Rabbi Yeshua. I mean, even according to them, it's only the Rambam and the Bartanurus shot in them. Why would they say, oh, yeah?
As you undo Kolat Seyar, it's Shevach.
But that's the opposite. They're only Bakasha. Why would you think only Bakasha? Anyone think of a Gemara in Shas, which would seem to associate Arva Minim with pure Bakasha? Don't bring me Rishonin, Tami HaMitzvos. Don't bring me Sefer Achinoch and Mor Nevuchim. Everyone says, what's the Tami Mitzvos of? You can imagine, you're a regular Pashat Pshat, common sense, rationalist philosopher, like the Sefer Achinoch and the Mora. You tell me, what's the Tami HaMitzvos of the Arva Minim? What would you say?
Preferring.
You're trying to be a troublemaker on purpose.
No.
Okay. So, fine. Forget. Says the Gemara in the beginning of Tainus. Gemara in the beginning of Tainus.
Also right here.
Ah, okay. Although the Gemara says two things, right?
Yeah.
Now, technically, hold on. Does the Gemara say that right here about Lulav? What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, the Tnufa of what? What are we talking about? The tnufa of Kifsei Atzeres. Well, let's read it inside. Nianu aman dechar shmei. This is a technical literary problem, right? We always ask in the Mishnah. Whenever the Mishnah asks, what are the details of Mitzvah X? I never told you to do Mitzvah X. That's not allowed according to the literary solid Mishnah. Right? So where do we even mention, right? The first question in Shas is about this, right? Meimasai kornis ha-shma. The Gemara says, how do we know you have to say Shema to say Meimasai kornis ha-shma? And the answer was, because the Pasuk said you have to say Shema. So the Mishnah is allowed to ask why. Here, the Pasuk doesn't say Nanua. So how is the Mishnah allowed literally to ask Heichan HaYumananim before it tells us Tenaanea? Nianua Mandachar Shmei, Hasam Koi Golub Sheshu Lotzvach, Tenaanea, Bokash, Gomer Heichan HaYumananim. No, the first Mishnah already says you need Nianua because you need Kedelananea. Kedelananea means you need Nianua. And then you're allowed to ask Heichan. Fine, Seder. Tanan Hasam, Shtei Alechem, Shei Kim Seyat Seres, but over the Shnei Alechem, right? The Tenufa of the Shnei Alechem. Kate said, Osa, right? Vehenif, right? It says Vehenif. Vehenif hakohen osama lechem of Yigrim to fall of Ne'ashem. Right? The Kohen is Menif, the Kivsei Atzeres, on the Shtei Alechem as a Tnufa. So, how do you do this Tnufa? So, shtelach, which I keep saying, Sarah's Kate's also, Minich, the Lechem, Shtay, Gavish, the Kvasim, Uminich, Yodu Tartayim, Umonif, Umenif, Umolich, Umevi, Umenif, Umolich, Mevi, Malamori. How are you, Menif? Menif, colon. You go backwards and back and forth and up and down. Shenemar, Shahu Nafa, Shahu Ram, because here it's obviously just either learning the meaning of the word, Zer Shava. Here it just says, Vehinif, Osamakwein, Alechem, Bikurin, Tunufa, Lefne Hashem, Vehinif, Tunufa. But elsewhere it says, Hunafasher Huram. Hunaf means sideways. Molukumevi. Huram means obviously up. That's the word, that's what it means. Malo Morid. Okay, maybe we'll get into some of the technical details next time of exactly what Molukumevi means, exactly what Malo Morid means. But clearly, you need all these different directions. Right? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Why do you do this? Molukumevi Lemisha Abruka Shalom. Malo Morid Lemisha Shemaim Ba'art Shalom. You're showing it's L'shem Hashem. So, to the master of the four corners of the earth, the master of the heavens and earth. No, the sideways is in order to be saved from the bad winds, the bad weather that comes with the wind. And up and down is to be saved from the bad dew, the bad precipitation. This shows even the ancillary parts of mitzvos are powerful enough to protect you from calamity because the tufa shervi, you're yotzev d'yevet without tufa. And yet, it's otzer ruchos u'tlolim rav. I'm a rava v'chein belulav, and rava says kein belulav. Right? Rava says kein belulav. Now, what does kein belulav mean? At the very, well, let's just read one more. Rav Achbar Yaakov Mamti L'Maislam or Ding Gir Be'im the Sitna. He would put it back and forth and say, this is a arrow in the eyes of Satan, meaning this will defeat the Satan. Okay, why he would say that, we have to try to figure out. V'lav Milsum Shadasa L'Guri, but you should never say that because then the Satan will mess with you. Meaning, don't, what do they call it in English? Don't poke the beer. Right? Don't poke the Satan in the eye. Because, you know, you don't want to enrage him and then he will get
provocation.
Right, this is more than a titapet. This is don't provoke this. Al titapet l'satan means don't mention something bad. Here it's don't actually provoke the satan. So again, you find a bear who's not aware of your, or who's not paying attention to you right now, don't poke him with a stick. Right? Okay, good advice for all of us. But the Amar Rav v'chein belulav. V'chein belulav on a technical sense means v'chein belulav mala umorid molech or molech umevi mala umorid. That's what v'chein belulav and ma'isim b'chayom. Right? There's a gazillion shittas how to do nenum and lulav, but everyone agrees you need to be molech umevi mala umorid v'chein belulav. Does v'chein belulav mean for the same reason? Does v'chein belulav have to be the reason behind it or just the ma'isa? V'chein belulav could just be the ma'isa. That's not mukhraf that it's for tlolim and ruchos. It's not mukhraf that for shamayim v'aretz shlo and arba ruchos shlo. Just means you have to be malo morid and molech umevi. However, Rashi at least says, second Rashi, k'devan aneivo, second Rashi in the Gemara, alma mitzvah aneia k'del kamen latsa ruchos rosh tlolim rayim. We see, therefore, it's a mitzvah to do nianuah, the lulav. Why? To prevent the, save yourself from calamitous weather.
He also is on Chavtes on the base, the Rashi.
And Rashi on Daf Chavtes on the base.
I don't remember which year that was.
Says, G'day l'naneya bo. It says the exact same thing. D'v'ina nianuah k'l kamon ma'la mor molech meve. Lots of ruchas rosu t'lolim rayim. What's interesting about this Rashi is, one, less mechudish and one a little more mechudish. The less mechudish things he assumes v'chein belulav doesn't just mean the ma'aseh, it also means the tamei mitzvos, the effect. Okay, that's not so crazy. If you had asked me, you know, pick, does v'chein belulav only mean the ma'aseh or also mean the tam hadavar? I would have said, you know what? Probably odds are also tam hadavar. I'm not sure, but reasonable. What's interesting in Rashi is that how many opinions are there about the tam of molech umevi malo morid in the Gemara? Two opinions, either Misha Shemayim Ba'art Shalom, Misha Arba Ruchos Shalom, or lots of Tlolim Ra'am, lots of Ruchos Ra'am. Rashi, in two places, Chav Tesim Days and Lamed Zayin of Days, only Paskins like one of those two reasons. I don't, now, again, if you ask me, is he passing like that reason for shtei alechem also? Or he's not passing shtei alechem, he's just passing lulav, I don't know. But we're only learning about lulav now. At the very least, when it comes to lulav, he's davka paskening that the purpose of lulav is latzor, right? Puranus, right? Is la'akev es ha'puranus, right? La'akev es ha'puranus, which again, it could be that when he says this is gira ba'in of the sitna, he mentions it's ma'akev puranus. So, it's actually fascinating. Like, why did Rav Acha bar Yaakov say when lulav, this is poking the eye of the satan? And why didn't he say that by every mitzvah? Why is only lulav poking the eye of the satan and not every mitzvah? It's a good question, no? So, that was one of my answers. I don't think that's funny. I think it could be serious. One answer might be, as Pesach says, because only lulav, you're poking someone, right? When I blow the shofar, I'm not poking anyone. Maybe I am confusing the satan with loud noises, and Taket says that in the Gemara, not crazy, right? When I eat matzah, I'm not doing anything to the satan. When I read Megillah, I'm not doing anything obscener. But when I'm poking someone, who am I poking? I don't see anyone, so I must be poking the satan. Okay, or if you want to take that in a more...
That's Rav Acha who encouraged him. The Gemara who said not to do it.
No, right. But the Gemara didn't say not to do it because you're not poking. The Gemara didn't say not to do it because lulav doesn't poke the satan. It's just that you shouldn't, like, mess with him. It could still be the Gemara agrees that lulav fights the satan. Mm-hmm. The Gemara didn't say, no, don't say it because lulav doesn't help you in the battle with the satan. No, of course you're right, lulav helps you in the battle with the satan. Mm-hmm. But you have to battle the satan quietly. You can't battle the satan with chutzpah. You have to have respect for the satan and battle him subtly. But anyway, the fascinating question of why Dein Gira Be'ena De Sitna, you could say...
Isn't that compared with the Rapha?
Give me a second. I know I'm meandering, but I'll find my way back to the path, not to worry. I know, I kept saying I'm quoting Oren Tinus, which I haven't, right? So, but I just got excited by too many interesting things. So, Dein Gira Be'ena De Sitna, it could be that... No, lulav has a special power to fight the satan, which is the more philosophical way of what Pesach is saying is that you're poking someone with a sharp edge. Right? Now, anyone who's ever gotten poked by a lulav knows that it hurts. And which of us has not been poked by a lulav? I'm not going to ask which of us have poked others with a lulav by accident. But why? One answer might be because somehow the mystical purpose of Nanuim is to weaken the Satan. Where do I get this from? Besides the fact that it's sharp and you poke someone, who says the mystical power of lulav is to weaken the satan? The Rav Yah quoting the Yerushalmi. Now, the Rav Yah quoting the Yerushalmi took in a certain direction. Now, just to be fair, the Rav Yah often quotes Yerushalmis that are not in our Yerushalmi. It's a big mystery exactly what Yerushalmi did the Rav Yah. What did he mean when he always... He all the time quotes things that are not in our Yerushalmi. Anyone ever see the movie Ha'arat Shulayim?
Sure.
I think that was in that movie. Remember, in the movie Ha'arat Shulayim, the father didn't get to publish his whole thing about the Rishon Ashkenaz version of the Yerushalmi because the other fellow found it in the binding of some book in a monastery. That was trying to solve this mystery. What is this Yerushalmi? The Rabbi keeps quoting. We have a Yerushalmi. We have 100 copies of Yerushalmi. It's not any of them. Okay, I don't know. Maybe the scholars have figured it out since the last time I checked. But the Rabbi always quote, and a few Rishonei Ashkenaz always quote Yerushalmis that are not in our Yerushalmi. And last I checked, the scholars argued, did they have a totally different Gersa of the Yerushalmi? Did they have some other book which was a compendium of Yerushalmis and other things?
That's
you know?
How Professor Lieberman started. I think that was what he started when he went through the Rishon Tosfos and showing him something like that. He started by gathering those Yerushalmis.
Okay, maybe he found them in the binding of a book in a monastery, like in the movie. But anyway, that's not my point now. My point is that this is not how the Ritva interprets the Yerushalmi. Remember, there's the Ritva quoting the quote-unquote Yerushalmi, and the Ritva giving his pshat. This is just the Yerushalmi Huva, in the Rav Yah, says, no, you're really poking the Satan. And even though Pesach said it as tongue-in-cheek, after all, you're poking someone. Now, we do have a principle that, you know, Malchus Da'arike, Malchus Durkia, that the way things look down here in a very physical way is often corresponds and represents deeper Kabbalistic ideas. So it could be that, yes, when I do Ne'anuim, I'm poking someone. Now, obviously, we're not ancient pagans. I don't think, like, I'm poking the Satan with my lulav in a literal sense. But it could be that somehow it's not coincidence that represents the fact that l'nanea kocho shel Satan, I am shaking the Satan out of his power. Somehow, lulav has this special power to fight the Satan. And I would add, the Tosfos Rush, I think, quotes this here, that the lulav is compared in the Medrash to a spear or a sword. And it says, why do we shake a lulav Rosh Hashanah? Now, it doesn't say this. It says, a mashal to two people who went to din, and when they come out of the bezdin, one of them is shaking his sword. Who won? Obviously, the guy shaking his sword. So we went to din in Rosh Hashanah against the kochos of evil, and we won. Now, that's not exactly this idea, because that's saying we already won, not that we're winning now, but it still has the idea, the martial interpretation of a lulav as a weapon, right? If a lulav is a weapon, then when we shake the lulav, we are shaking the lananea kocho shel kategor. And therefore, we put it back together with shofar, and it's weaponry against the satan. Now, do I understand why shaking a lulav is weaponry against the satan? I mean, you could always give a nice explanation, but more so than all good deeds are a weapon against the Satan. Yeah, because lulav is a good deed and helps us think of Hashem, and this and that is against the Satan. Okay, well then so is everything. Do I understand specifically why the weapon-like lulav hurts the Satan?
Yeah, because it's a symbol of a sword.
Okay, exactly. Okay, I mean, do I understand on a mystical level? No, but I'm not such a big
mystical. It is, because where else do you have a mitzvah, which is a physical thing where people are doing things, and you go into a shul, you go into a kahal, and you have the whole kahal doing this all physical thing. There's no other mitzvahs like that. Right. So it's the fact that the kahal is all doing these things that's what kills the sotah.
Okay.
Okay,
fair enough.
No, they're not doing anything physical. Here you're doing something.
The whole kahal does a physical thing. Okay, Efshar. A second shot I could say is that. A second shot, you could say, why it's davlana nea kocho shel satan, might have to do with la'akev peranus. Meaning, what is satan? Again, this depends what you think satan is, right? Is the satan, you know, clearly, let's get one thing clear, like we're not Zoroastrians here, right? The satan is not some power that competes with God, that is a god, etc., right? We're monotheists. But maximum, Satan is like the first parak of Eov. He is one of God's angels, but most of God's angels have the job of doing good, and he has the job of Peranus, of doing evil, right? And that's the maximum we're going to get, right? So, you know, and the minimum we're going to get is, no, the first parak of Eov is obviously a metaphor. It just means that Hashem, you know, sometimes takes into account the bad and sometimes takes into account the good. When Hashem's taking into the bad, we call that a metaphor of a Satan. But what is Satan ultimately? Satan is not, very simply, Satan is not anti-God, chas v'shalom. Satan is from the midas hadin of Hashem, right? And basically, like, when Hashem wants to run the world and find people who do good things and do good things to them as a reward, that is not the Satan. When people are punished for their sins, that's the Satan. The Satan is the kategor, right? The kategor is the punishment for sins. If it's ma'akev peranos, then what is ma'akev peranos? Ma'akev peranos is a gira v'ein into satan. The satan means peranos, means punishment. And since it protects us from punishment, therefore it's against the satan. And maybe that's the smichus of the Gemara. The Gemara just says Zotzeres Ruchos Rosh Tolim Ra'im, and therefore Rachmayav says, oh, that's against the Satan, to the Satan is punishment, and this protects us from punishment. So the second shot you could just say is that the Satan equals Puranos, and the Nianua of the Lulav is Ma'ake Puranos. And again, even though the Gemara technically only said that the Neanua, the Tznufa, the Shnei Lechem, Ma'ake Puranos, but when Rav says Mechim Belulav, even though he might have only meant Pemaisa, it's reasonable to assume he also meant Betam Hadavar, and therefore the Neanulav is Ma'ake Puranos. That's what Rav says, lots of Ruchos Rosh Tolal Rhyme. The third possibility is, also Smichos, is that this comes right after the line of Shurei Mitzvah. What is a Gira Be'in into Satan? Right? If a person is yotze b'di eved b'koshi, you know, what do you get? You know, hitzdayin, avar b'hatzlacha, avar b'chesed. You know, if you're avar b'chesed, right? We all know, right? There's one approach to Judaism, which is that, you know, I'm not giving Musar Shmuz here, but one approach to Judaism is I'm a firm Jew. My goal in life is not to do such big aviras that I'll go to hell. Barely scraping by Judaism. Obviously, we don't believe in that. No, the goal is to be Ovid Hashem maximally, to try to make an ambition and a goal of Avodas Hashem. What does that mean? That means even Shurei Mitzvah. Why are Shurei Mitzvah Ma'akvinus HaPuranus? Maybe not Shurei Mitzvah Ma'akvinus HaPuranus. Even though they're Shurei Mitzvah, they're Ma'akvinus HaPuranus. Maybe Davka Shurei Mitzvah. Davka, you could have been Yotzei otherwise, but you're doing it right. Davka, you want to do things with Mahadrin. And here by Mahadrin, I'm not talking about crazy chumra, I'm not talking about new politics. Mahadrin, meaning you want to do the mitzvah right with all the stages, right? You want to do a mitzvah, ketikuna, mitzvah b'shling umsa, that's ma'akev peronis, because you're really trying to do the mitzvahs properly and feel Hashem properly. Maybe that's a rachamet. Rachamet, if I had just picked up a lulav, what does the Gemara say, menbezim and aleph, mi de agbehe, nafakbe, right? If I just picked up the lulav, that would not be anything to the satan. Satan would say, you see these Jews, all right, they get by, but they don't really Ovid Hashem properly. But when I do the mitzvah of Mishlei Musa, even the Shiari mitzvah, I don't leave out any stage, and I do it l'chavchila, then that's an arrow in the eye of the Satan. Because what's the Satan going to say? After all, I'm doing the mitzvah properly. So it could be that Davka doing Shiari mitzvah, right? And not just Davka doing Shiari mitzvah is a defeat of the Satan because it shows a true avoda. Davka being doing Shuri mitzvah is the defeat of the Satan. And this is similar to what the Rav Yah himself says. What did the Rav Yah himself say? I'm putting this similar. The Rav Yah Alpi the Yerushalmi, meaning, this is not what it's in the Yerushalmi. This is the Rav Yah's understanding of the Yerushalmi. Says the Rav Yah, he says, what else? Remember, what's Ma'arbev the Satan? What's Ma'arbev the Satan?
Tkiyas.
Blowing shofar is to defeat the Satan. Why? So you could have said, has mystical power of defeating the Satan. After all, when you blow just like when you poke with a sword, you hurt someone. When you blow a shofar, you cause the tremble and be afraid of powerful forces. And that's Ma'arbev the Satan. Okay, you could also say, how is it Ma'arbev the Satan? Because it gets us kapara from Hashem, and it goes against the Satan. Or you could say, no, how is shofar davka against the Satan? So what did the Gemara say? The Gemara really says, why do they do tkiyas miyushav and ma'umad? To confuse the Satan. How does it confuse the Satan? How does davka miyushav ma'umad confuse the Satan? So there are two explanations that I've seen in my machzors. One, and you can look in Tosfos there. One is that it mixes up the Satan because the Satan's very foolish. And when we blow the shofar once, he thinks we've been yosnei zayom. We blow it the second time, he thinks Mashiach is coming and he gets scared. Okay, I'm not sure the Satan's so foolish. What does Tosfos say there? How does it overwhelm the Satan when we do Yushav and Me'umad? Because we only had to blow the shofar once. When we blow the shofar twice, we show we're really extra dedicated to mitzvos. And therefore, the Satan doesn't know what to do with himself because the Jews love mitzvah so much. Meaning, the extra kiyum defeats the Satan because he doesn't know what he can't even find his tongue anymore once the Jews love mitzvah so much. Says the Rav Yah himself, he's quoting the Rush here, the exact same thing here. He knew that pshat, that was his pshat there. He says it's just like there. It's because we do extra. But for him, the extra is not the nanduim. The extra is just like Miyushav and Neumat, right? There was two blowing shofars. How many times do we do nanduim in our current minhag? Tosos wasn't sure if it was right. But our minhag is, at how many stages do we do nanuim? I mean, how many psukim? Twice. Once in Hallel, but another time, before Hallel, when do we do nanuim? No, before Hallel, by the bracha, right? Remember Tosos was sopik? What? About a week. I said we. I didn't say everyone, right? So, says the Rav Yav al-Pirushalmi that no, that the... I don't remember if he had a great phrase that summarized it here, but if you could look, in the Rav Yav, it's in the Rav Yav, but I just told you to look at the Rush, because the Rush quotes him properly. Says the Rav Yav... says the Rav Yah, of Rav Yah, brought a raya from the Yerushalmi, but old custom Rav Yah, l'nanea kochah shel kategor, yeah, and just like the Tishmushim over the Arbiv es ha satan, okay, he doesn't explicate so much, but like Tekios, Dimiyushav, Udima Umad, okay, here I'm going to apologize. He doesn't say so explicitly, but I assume in what way is this like Tiyas Miyushav and Udima Umad? It's obviously our extra kiyum, right? Our extra kiyum shows true avoda, shows love of mitzvos, right? Shows our true avoda and love of mitzvos, after all, we do it twice. And then the satan can't say anything.
My shofar the second time is the Rav Yah, and I added that. There's a shita that...
Yeah, but the Rav Yah Dafka doesn't have that shita. The Rav Yah has the shita the second time is a pure Rav Yah. Okay. Shows...
Okay, but the Nanuim are... He doesn't hold... There's a shita that Nanuim are the Raisa. So then it's not an extra.
No, because he thinks that Nanuim the Raisa are at the bracha. The halal is an extra.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we'll get that. Okay. So now, this was a just side. It was interesting. Like, what's the gear of aim of the sitna doing here? Besides the fact that they said you're right, but still don't say it, because not everything that's right should be said. Okay, if we only learned the whole second in order to learn that not everything that's right should you say, that would be a valuable lesson. But now.
They might be two different.
It might be, but okay, he connects them. Now, let's get back to where we were. This was a side point. Then. This is a side point. What's the svara for here? The svara is Alpi Rashi. Says Rashi, the whole purpose of Nanuim, and Achaim was right for telling me to go back to Chavtesim Beis. Meilin Arsugya, he's just saying Arsugya. Chavtesim Beis, the very beginning of the Perek, he didn't have to say anything about the purpose of Nanuim, did he? Would have been perfectly fine if he says Begmar Mefarsh. He says, no, you should know Nanuim is Latzar. Ruchas Rosu Tlalim Rai. Vizem, right? Svara is that the purpose of Nanuim is Bakasha, and that is Rashi, Latzor, Vechuli. Rashi twice. And you can go in further, because what is the beginning of Tainus, right? When I started this 15 minutes, I was trying to quote the beginning of Tainus. It says in the beginning of Tainus that... one second. Sorry, just give me half a second here. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Tainus Beis and Beis, Hoel Bar Bos, Minim Halalu Inam Boim, Elo Loratzos Al Hamayim. These are coming for nothing but Loratos Alamayim, to pray for rain. Now again, nothing but in Lashon Chazal is often lav davka. You know, ein tov ela Torah doesn't mean there can't be ein tov ela other things. But nonetheless, einam bana l'ratzo salamayim. How are they bana l'ratzo salamayim? And as he explains, just like these arbaminim need a lot of water, the world needs water, so it's the ratzos alamayim. He's saying not just the nanuim, taking one step deeper, the whole arbaminim is coming to ratzos al hamayim, or I'm going even further, is to say the purpose of dalin minim is bakasha. And that is tainis daf beis amid beis. Now, admittedly, it's one tana in tainis daf beis amid beis. But you don't know if Rabbi Yeshua disagreed with him because he disagreed with this part because of something else, right? Rabbi Eliezer says, Einan ba'im ela l'ratzos al hamayim. They're only coming l'ratzos al hamayim. So if you understand, they're only coming l'ratzos al hamayim. If you understand like Rashi, they're only coming lots of ruchos, rose, and plolim raim. They're basically coming to pray for weather. And by the way, which practices do we have which would support the idea of einam ba'im el l'ratzos al hamayim? Hoshanos, right? Keep in mind, Hoshanos is on Hashem Hoshiyana, right? That's a Hoshana. And almost all the Hoshanos are about Mayim. And Hoshana Rabbah is very, very explicit again and again and again that it's all the Ratzos al Mayim. The Chag Nidol al Mayim, of course. Right? And now, it doesn't say in the Gemara that we do Hoshanos. And it doesn't say anywhere what the Hoshanos should say, etc. But clearly that fits the theme of the Ratzos al Mayim. Where do we get that from? Einam Ba'im L'Ratzos al Mayim.
The whole Makor is the Etzem Dalagim and not the Nan. So that doesn't really explain the non-nuim. You could just hold the arba minim and have the same symbolism of mayim.
Ah, but it's even better if you do, and mida akbe nafik bay. But it's even better if you're menanea, because you put it together with Rashi. If you're menanea, you're saying, the rain, I understand here it says tal, the rain comes from there and it goes down to here, and the wind has to come from there and blow the rain clouds, and the wind has to come from there, and the wind shouldn't come and blow away the rain clouds. Meaning, it works even better.
It
adds to it. Okay. That is, now of course this is a shita that may or may not even exist, and even if it does exist, we don't paskin like, right? There may or may not be a shita like this only on Hashem Hoshiyana. And if there is, we don't paskin like it. We paskin Hodu and Hoshiyana. This brings up a fascinating question. Why Hodu and Hoshiyana? If it's only coming for a bakasha, why do we have to, if Nanuim are only for a bakasha, why do we have to do Nanuim and Hodu? If the person that knew him is only la'akev, is only for a bakasha. So here,
because I... Because the shevach, just like in the Tzvira Nasudah, you always precede. Yeah.
The shevach is tuffel to the bakasha. Right?
To be able to get to a bakasha.
Or the condition, like you said, you don't get to the condition.
Right, okay. So here I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb, I must admit. I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb, because... because I don't have very, very strong makoros about this. But let's ask the following question of Bakasha further. Okay. And just as long as we're in the realm of Bakasha, we can add the Yerushalmi move of Baravya. He says it's to fight the Kategor. Right, that's also about Kasha. She had not saved us from the Kategor, right? Okay. However, there is, what do we do with how we paskin, right? How do we paskin? This is Beis Hillel. This is Halacha L'maisa. So what's the story here? So you want to say for Rashi, Rashi says the whole purpose of Nanuim is Latzor. Right? The purpose of Latzor, Ruchas Rosu Tlalim Raiv. In with Bakasha, the Ratzos al Hamayim. If so, why do we have to say Hodu? So the answer is, maybe every Bakasha needs a Sheva first. Like in Shemona Esrei, the Iker Shemona Esrei is Bakasha. Pasha Pshat, you could say a lot of things. A simple Pshat, the Iker Shemona Esrei is Bakasha, but Bakasha needs bookends, Shevach and Hoda, right? So you could say, what's the Svara? One Svara is... A Rashi,
Lefi Rashi, you could say, no, the Iker is for Bakasha, but you need Shevach to introduce Bakasha. And if you say, where do I get this idea, you need Shevach to introduce Bakasha, the answer is from Kalatar Kula. You can't throw a stone in a base medrash without hitting a book that says you need Shevach to introduce Bakasha, right? Last week's Parsha. Kel na refan Allah, Rashi, I think it's Rashi there, says, from here we see that whenever you make Bakasha, if you have to add a few words of Shevach first. Okay. Beseder, that's one approach, that it's really all about Bakasha. However, there's another approach also. The other approach is, and this is how the Rav understood in the Rishivas here, is that, no, really the point is Shevach. Really the point is Shevach. Now, let's start with, we'll start with further, right? Maybe the purpose of Lulav is Shevach. Okay, this might be our last sugya really about Lulav, so we should, I should have given you out some of these makoros, but maybe the purpose of Lulav is Shevach. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim says clearly, Tamei Mitzvah Lulav is Shevach. Interestingly, which Shevach does the Rambam say that you're giving Shevach for? And remember the Mor Nevuchim for Eretz Yisrael. These are Minim of Eretz Yisrael, and you're giving Shevach for Eretz Yisrael. And of course, that ties into the theme of Sukkos. Kiva Sukkos, or Shavuot, is always some of your Mitzrayim. Ah, we live in a Sukkah to remember Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. But you know what? If the story had ended there, it wouldn't be so exciting. They would not have made a real life movie out of the story if it just ended in the Midbar. Right? No, Hashem took us out of the Midbar in Sukkos, but the goal was for Eretz Yisrael, not to stay in the Midbar. And therefore, these Arba Amino, Hashemach of Eretz Yisrael, and the Rama even says, you know what, the Rama Mor Nevuchim goes very far. It's a good Zionist Mor Nevuchim. In general, the Rama was not a big Zionist as some of the other Rishonim. This is a good Zionist Mor Nevuchim. He says, and you know why we have to remember that Hashem took us out in Sukkos? Most people say, the niflos of the Sukkos and the darga of the Midbar. The Rama says, no, you should remember that we're in these flimsy Sukkos and the Midbar was so awful and it's so nice that now he brought us to Eretz Yisrael. So Sukkos are... You see how bad it was before we had Eretz Yisrael, appreciate Eretz Yisrael. And the Arba Minim are appreciate Eretz Yisrael, the beautiful things that grow here. Okay, the Sefer HaChinuch says that it's for Simcha the harvest. He, as a matter of fact, says, he says, everyone makes a harvest festival, even if people are not religious. Everyone makes a big party celebrating the harvest. And he says, actually, the Derech of the Torah, that whenever you have sort of a natural reaction, you're supposed to channel it towards the Ribono Shel Olam. So you're very happy about the harvest, so you should channel that towards the Ribono Shel Olam. This is one of the ways. Okay, so it's clearly for Shevach v'Hodah, either for the harvest or for Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, those are not... I mean, the harvest based on Kaka Asif, Eretz Yisrael based on V'Hotzi or something else that's Rayim. Obviously, those are not two different things because it flew us baritz. Right? The harvest comes from the ground of Eretz Yisrael. So, really, the purpose of Lulav might be Shevach, and this would be the Mor Nevuchim Shevach al Matnas Eretz Yisrael, and the Chinuch says Shevach al Ha'asif, and of course...
The Rashi Mishan.
What does the Rashi Mishan say?
The one you quoted from in Kaf, the home is from Lulav.
When did I say it was Rabbi Tam? Did I?
I said it was Rabbi
Tam. Okay, sorry. Okay, thank you. But even more than that, you're correct. Meaning the Bali Tosas, remember the Bali Tosas everywhere but on the Daf, who says the only mitzvah Avera by Bala Ratzos, but the way the Tosas Rosh Mishan says Bala Shevach, right? So here is the Tosos Shans Psachim, the Sugyat Mitzvah Avera. He says, L'shabeach u'lahalel. And of course, which Rishon in the very beginning of our parak made halel a big theme of lulav? Very third word of our parak. What's the third word of our parak? What's the third word of our parak?
Of this
this parak. V'hayavesh. Why is yavesh possible according to the Ravid? Lo meis mihaluka. Ah, so lo meis mihaluka. Why can I do the mitzvah? Obviously, the mitzvah is halal, right? That's ABCs, right? The Ravid lo hamesim yehaluka, right? So clearly, we have a theme that the entire purpose of Arba Minim, bein in the Tamei Mitzvos Rishonim, bein in the Rishonim trying to explain halachos. The entire theme of Arba Minim, I don't mean just Lulav, I mean Dalad Minim, is Shevach, but at least specifically, the purpose of Nanuim is Shevach. That might fit the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Misha Arba Rucha Shalom, Shemayim Va'ar Shalom. That sounds like Shevach. Rashi's a little unclear. Rashi makes downplays of Shevach. Says, we're doing it L'Shem Hashem. It shows we're doing it L'Shem Hashem who owns the world. Right? Rashi downplays the Shevach because Rashi likes Bakasha here. But Pashup Shad is, we're praising Hashem, right? Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Up, up, down, down, right, left, and all around. Here, there, and everywhere is where he can be found. That's Shevach, right? That's a tremendous Shevach. So, on a certain level, when you're too little to Yodel and Anea, you sing that song. And when you're bigger, then you sing that song through the Nianua. You say, what's the greatest Shevach Hashem? Okay, that's a hard question. What's the greatest Shevach Hashem? But on a simple level, the greatest Shevach Hashem is that he's the master of everything. The heavens and the earth and all the directions, wherever you go, it's all Hashem's world. Right? I think that's the most simple, obvious Shevach of Hashem. Okay, on a deeper level, there's always deeper levels. So the purpose of the Nanuim is Shevach, and this matches Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rashi says something funny in Rabbi Yochanan. Rashi says, "Lemisha Abaruch Shalom Mitzvah Zona Osem L'Shmo Came Mar Bana Faso." We're doing the Tenufa to show L'Shem Mi. Are we doing this mitzvah? Not L'Shem Zeus. Not L'Shem Baal. Not L'Shem Kemosh. L'Shem Hashem who rules the heavens and the earth. He makes it sound like we're just showing Lishma. But either the Pashup Shad, no, we're praising Hashem. We're saying, Hashem, you rule everything. Rabbi Yochanan, I think that's the Pashup of Rabbi Yochanan. And if Rashi denies that, it doesn't bother me. Because this is Rashi who wants to say the Iker is Latzer Tolem Raim, and not for Shevach. For Rabbi Yochanan says, it's the Shevach of Arba Ruchos Vishamayim Va'aret Shalom. That's a Shevach. And, of course, we know when do we shake the lulav? During Hallel. The whole idea of Hallel, right? Clearly, the Iker of Hallel is Shevach, right? And Shas Hallel. Hallel, clearly we all know, Hallel has many psukim within it. But, obviously, the main point of Hallel is Shevach, right? I think that's clear. The main point of Hallel is Shevach. And when Tosfos quotes, how do we know to do Nianuim with the lulav? It's a fascinating question. I wonder why I'm always surprised that I didn't get to what I thought I would get to in Shir. Will I ever stop being surprised? I don't think so. I really thought that this Shir I made so short. Okay, Loma Shana. But we can't skip these things. We can't skip these things. How can we finish the year without knowing what a lulav is?
The
Rebbe
is the thing that I need you
and the Rav never finished what he said he would finish this year. Except I hear one day there's a famous Misa, but that's for another time. Yes. Okay, Rabosa, let's go. The whole idea of Shas Hallel sounds like Nanuim is for the sake of Shevach Hashem. Because clearly the main point of Hallel is Shevach. No one's going to deny the main key of Hallel is Shevach. And what's the Makor of Shevach? What's the makar of Nanuim? It's a fascinating question. What's the makar of Nanuim? You could say you don't need a makar. The makar is Misvara. But what does Tosfos say the makar of Nanuim is? Oziranu kolatzayar. Right? Right? And the makar lefi Tosfos is Oziranu. Is it kolatzayar or atzayar? Kolatzayar. Okay, it's very hard. I mean, they're all psukim. I've read just different ones. Kolatzayar. Oziraninu, Rina is clearly a lashon of Shevach. Right? Pasha's the word Rina means Shevach. Right? Now, I know you'll say, Alti Sabadam Rina Tfila, but the Pasha's of Rina is Shevach. And the Nitziv has a fascinating suggestion. He gives another pshat, how we know that Lulav is, needs to do the Anuim. It's a bit of a stretch. He says, because it says, right? He quotes the pasuk. I put it on the sheet, right? B'Shmuel Bet Perek Vav. Of course, what Shmuel Bet Perek Vav? That is the Haftorah of Shmini. I don't know if this pasuk is in the Haftorah of Shmini. I think it is. When David brings up Aaron Hashem to Yerushalayim, B'Simcha. Not B'Agalacha, B'Simcha. He brings up a simcha, and what do? And they have all kinds of musical instruments. Benana'im, uvitzeltzalim, and etc. And the Midrash Rabbah says, the menanim are the lulav. Clearly, that's an Eiv Shevach. The whole point was simcha and musical instruments playing. Right? So, and likewise, the makar lefithin et siv is uvimnanim uvitzeltzalim, right? Tzeltzalim are symbols, I think. Lom shaneh. Anyway, clearly there could be a theme of simcha. We have one, and of course the theme of simcha, if we go back to the, what I call further, right, which means just lulav in general, what is sukkahs? Zman? Simcha seinu. So a theme of simcha is not so crazy, even in general, right? Sukkahs equals zman. Simcha seinu. So it's not crazy to have the theme of simcha, and simcha goes with halal, right?
The Ramban said that in the Sefer HaMitzvot, when he's arguing, he said that halal was deraisa on Yantuk, and he said, and he was trying to find the makor, he said, because it's halal simcha.
Correct. Okay, sukkah's man simcha. Saying again, simcha's not the same as halal, but it belongs there. Here also, maybe, benanim is more a sign of simcha than halal, so I'll put in parentheses, but, you know, simcha equals simcha. Okay, now let me just, I have 3 seconds left. Simple question. If the real purpose of Shevach, then what does Tosfos continue? It says, on you rather say Yarkiv Basem Lishmotz Ta'aretz. And Tosfos Rosh says Basem Lishmotz Ta'aretz means it's after Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, where Zoch of the Din. Right? And then the next line says, Hodol Hashem Gidol Milom Chastos. Therefore, when Oziranu Kol Atzayar, when do the Atzayar Miranein? Right, the trees. When is the only trees that are mitzvahs is Arva Minim. Behold Lashem Kitol. And then the next pasuk says, "V'imro Shianu L'Kei Sheinu." Therefore, it's at Hod Lashem Kitol Anah Hashem Oshiana. Okay, why also at Anah Hashem Oshiana? If we take this approach, then we have a simple question: why also at Hoshiana? If it's about Simcha, then why also at if it's about Hallel and Shevach? Why also at Hoshiana? So here. The Rav gives a very deep answer. Says the Rav here, he says, the greatest Shevach of Hashem is, think about this, what's a greater Shevach? If I say to someone, thank you very much, I couldn't have done it without you, you really helped me out here, you made a life and death difference for me, now I'm ready to move on. That's a Shevach, that he did a wonderful thing for me. But there's a pagam in the Shevach, like, and now I don't need you anymore. You had your time, and you had everything else. Right? You had your time, and now I'm moving on. That's a wonderful Shevach, but it's a chisaron in the Shevach. What is a real Shevach? A real Shevach is, thank you, I couldn't have done it without you. You really came through for me. And I'm going to need your help in the future also. Because I don't think I can't do it on my own. I'm always going to need your help. That's the greatest Shevach, right? That you always need someone's help. It's a pagam in the Shevach to say thank you, but now your time is over. Thank you, and you know what? I'm going to have to say thank you again because eternally I need your help. That's the greatest Shevach. The greatest Shevach is a bakasha. Because you're saying that you are so great that I can never manage without you. So now the Rav doesn't say it precisely in this words, but close to this words. Says the Rav, right here in the Rishima Shiurim, because the a full Shevach, or rather, that the acknowledgement, Bakasha al Ha'asid, is the Shlemus of Shevach. Bakasha al Ha'asid is the Shlemus of the Shevach. Right? It's not a Shevach Shalem if it's over, if it ends, has an expiration date. If the greatest Shevach is that I need you in the future too. And therefore, it's not the Bakasha because we need the Bakasha. And by the way, without a sugya, why is Anah Shemoshiyan on Halel? Halel is Shevach. Why is Anah Shemoshiyan on Halel? Ask the question without Lulav. Ask the question on Hanukkah. Why do you say Anah Shemoshiyan on Halel? Halel is Shevach. The answer is, it's not a full shevach if it doesn't have bakasha, because then the shevach has an expiration date. That's a very pashut svara. Of course. No, that's different, because mina meitzer karasi ya could be in the past. I called Hashem, although you have to have anani, but even anani could be in the past, right? It's anani, anosi, right? Yeah, I called Hashem in the past and he answered me. That's pure shevach. Saying I davened him in the past and he answered me is pure shevach. Saying on Hashem will shiyan in the future is bakasha. The answer is, and philosophically it makes perfect sense. It's a common shevach, you don't have bakasha. I'll just end with one possibility. Obviously, you could say, based on Tosos, you could say that, no, there are two kiyumim in Nanuim, and maybe in Lulav, maybe they're two kiyumim, Leratzos and Leshevach, right? Shevach and Bakasha. And that's Simchas Eretz Yisrael and Simchas Asif and Lerat Salamayim. And that is Ana, that is Hodol Hashem Gitov and Ana Hashem Hoshiana. And maybe that's what Tosus means. Hodol Hashem Gitov and V'imra Hoshiana Lekei Hashenu. Maybe one doesn't have to be subservient to the other. And one doesn't have to be subservient to the other. And, by the way, in this one, you would say that if you take the pure Shevach approach, you could say the latzor v'chuli ularatzos v'chuli is just an indirect result. Right? I forgot to point out. If it's for Sheva, why is it the ratzol mine? No, no. It's for us to praise Hashem. An indirect result to praising Hashem is that mida k'neged mida, he gives us water to praise him for next year. But just because you get rewarded for something doesn't mean it's a bakasha. You could do a shevach and be rewarded with something. That's called an indirect result. If I eat matzah, I'm going to be rewarded. That doesn't mean matzah is about kosha. No, matzah is a shevach, and then I'm rewarded for doing yischar mitzvos by alma, sometimes ika. Now, you could say it's two kiyumin. If it's two kiyumin, then everything fits in, and what would be the mucker of a dual kiyum? Perhaps Tosa's pasuk, which has two things, especially, you know, Hamakor shel Tosos, because in Tosos he has two things in the Pesukim, and you don't take one subservient to the other. You can just say they're two different kiyumim. If they're two different kiyumim, I'll just have to come back next time. But if they're two different kiyumim, I would just point out that there's something interesting about Sukkos. The Chag Ha'asif. Tekufa. What does a Tekufa mean? I don't mean in technical Lashon Chazal, where Tekufa means one of the seasons that last 91 point whatever days. I mean, what does the word Tekufa mean grammatically? Where does it come from? Hakafa, right? What's a Hakafa? A cycle, right? Tekufa's Hashanah means the cycle of the year. Why? When does the year end? The year ends when you finish the harvest. Right. Sukkos. Right. When does the year start? The year starts when it starts to rain. The rainy season starts, which starts growing things for next year, right, which is Sukkos. Sukkos is Pesach's not Tekufas Hashanah. Pesach's answer. Sukkos is Tekufas Hashanah. Maybe that's why we do a Kafas. Even though Shanas we do a Kafas, not only Simchas Torah. And that's why we lane Zos HaBracha and Bereishis. That's also Tekufas Hashanah, right? We finish the Torah and start the Torah. If Sukkos is Davka, the holiday of the cycle of the year, when the year ends and the year begins, then that would make sense. It has a dual kiyum. When something ends, you have a kiyum shevach. When something begins, you have a kiyum bakasha. Everyone knows shevach is when you finish, and bakasha is before you start. And maybe Sukkos is shevach on the harvest and bakasha on the rain for next year's harvest. Has a dual kiyum. Midin tkufa sashana. It makes sense. And that's why everything we do in Sukkos and not in any other chag of the entire year is in circles. You could dance in circles at your chagiga with a band, however you want. I mean, the actual minhagim. And then you could say that maybe the yesod is tkufas hashana, tkufa meaning an end, which is a beginning. An end and a beginning is a dual kiyum, and that would explain the third pshat. Okay, here we have three fundamental pshatim in the tamei mitzvah behind nanua. What we didn't get to is some of the lumdus. I wrote half of next time's makoros, so I'll just give them out, and then I'll email the full version. What we'll do next time is finish up this Makoros and maybe spend a little time. By the way, we could spend a year, but I don't want to. Maybe spend a little time on the technicalities of how to actually do the Nanua, although I don't want to spend a long time on it. And move on to the next Sugya. So we will to be continued in Mirat Hashem next week.